You're listening to Charlotte Real Estate Talk with Pridemore Properties.
Hello, Scott Pridemore here with Mike Hagee for another episode of Charlotte Real Estate Talk. Today, we welcome John Charles Kernodle joining us, financial advisor. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's totally our pleasure. And we invited you in today, frankly, I'll tell you, because in this case, it's, you know, I'm trying to really analyze investments and, you know, looking at trying to make sure we're properly prepared for retirement and funding our daughter's college education. So selfishly, I brought you in to kind of pick your brain. I feel like there are other people that might have the same concerns. You know, the people, the circles that I run with, Mike, you might attest to the same, that, you know, that there's a lot of confusion out there. There's a lot of information, you know, and just we would like to bring in a professional from time to time on certain topics. In this case, it's financial planning. Okay. So let's get right into it. I'd like to ask you to maybe give us a little bit of, first off, where you feel the market is. I want to start broad, and that might be silly, but I think the listeners might want to hear how you answer the question. So how's the market?
Well, that's a great question.
As simple as it sounds,
yeah,
it's probably right. Very complex.
And
but
it's a little bit of a story, not completely tongue-in-cheek, in that you know, the market, it is, I get asked this question a lot.
And
our approach, just for the benefit of the people that are going to listen to this, that so I'm with Strathmore Capital Advisors here in Charlotte. I founded the firm back in 2005. I started working in financial services in the early to mid 90s at First Union in the Capital Markets Group. So, but with Strathmore running that investment management firm, wealth management, financial planning, since 05, we have used an investment approach. Actually, they're new to Charlotte, Dimensional Fund Advisors. So they built a 9-story building in South End, right where the Common Market used to be.
I drove by it this morning.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So beautiful building.
Yeah.
And really started working with those guys. Found out about them in 04, their methodology, their philosophy as it relates to accessing the capital markets. And it was the impetus to start my own firm, because I had been on the business development side of financial services for a long time, going back to the early 90s at First Union. But so their approach, and I won't assume that people know much about them, but most of the product that's available, and I'm working up, Scott, to answer
absolutely
your question about
the
markets.
Absolutely, I know. Absolutely. I'm so glad you're yeah giving us that background.
Yeah, so most of the way that people have to invest would fall into a category of what we would call in the industry active management, meaning that it's a team of people or an individual that is actively picking stocks, say in a mutual fund or a separately managed account. What Dimensional does is, as opposed to what, and when I say active management, I will refer to it sometimes as forecasting, because it's a function of collecting data, looking at what's going on in the world. Yesterday is a good example, with the Fed not raising rates. So there were people leading up to that. Well, they're going to lower. The talk was either going to be flat or they'll lower rates. And they held tight. And then there's so many moving parts to the market. You know, the trade deal with China is a big one. We've always got politics going 24/7 in our country. So that's never not in the public conversation. So, but what Dimensional will do is, instead of forecasting, because forecasting is really tough, because at the end of the day, it's a function of making an educated guess on what you think is going to happen tomorrow. And a lot of times you're wrong. Okay. And if you look at the research, if you look at the data, in my practice, I go to S&P website, SPIVA.com, SPIVA.com, and they put out a semi-annual report that tracks In the report, it's about 30 pages long. I know where to go to get this one slide, but it tracks the percentage of active managers in the U.S. by asset class that are underperforming their benchmark, and it's really high. I think the end of 2018, all the fund managers in the U.S. compared to the S&P 1500, 84.9-something% underperformed that S&P 1500. And if you go down the line, if you look at it by asset class, large cap value, small cap value, large cap growth, all these different asset classes, the numbers are in the 80s and sometimes 90 percentile that they're underperforming their benchmark. So active management costs more because you've got a lot of people. And typically, in a lot of cases, it underperforms. So what Dimensional does, and what I really liked about them, still working up to answer your question, they'll take a historical perspective of the markets, capital markets, and they will look back 80, 90 years and say, hey, what do we know about markets? Are there any trends, anything that persists? And what they've identified over long periods of time is that small cap outperforms large cap, value outperforms growth, and more profitable companies outperform less profitable companies. So they build, they engineer portfolios to reflect those weightings. So the answer to your question is, I have no idea.
But you know what? I love that there's let's face it, there's so much that goes into it, and your honesty. I mean, frankly, if when it comes to, you know, who I want to trust, it's somebody who's going to be straight, you know, and shoot me straight. So, yeah.
So we're a fiduciary, you know, yeah. As an RIA, registered investment advisor, we're a fiduciary. Our standard is to the client, and we're completely independent. I don't work for any fund family or with,
yep.
I don't get paid to push clients' assets into. So I simply look at it from a perspective of what's best for the client. Where are they going to have the most success? Where they're going to have the highest percentage chance of having the most successful outcome. And we get to access big chunks of the capital markets. We go from, in a lot of cases, what I'll see with individuals is really concentrated portfolios, maybe 25 or 50 positions and some bonds. And so they don't really own, even when they own something, they may own a mutual fund, like a large cap value or whatever, but it might have 40 or 50 names and there are 1,000 in the universe. So if you don't own the right ones, in that case, you miss whatever that asset class is going to do. So to your point, yeah, I mean, I enjoy working this way. It helps me communicate to the clients. Things are really clear this way. We can really explain to people that, you know, you want to own big chunks of the capital markets. You want to do it, you know, low fee as possible from an expense ratio perspective. Mm-hmm. And turnover within the portfolio is big because that becomes a taxable event in some situations for clients.
Absolutely. You mentioned how fund managers underperform in comparison to the S&P.
Or the it wouldn't always be the S&P. It might be the Russell 3000, whatever the asset class is.
Certainly.
That is relative to that.
Understood.
That asset
yeah.
class. Yeah.
So speaking of the S&P, I didn't realize that it was even that there were 15% that performed better than the S&P. I think that's interesting. I think I heard, I don't know the exact quote, but Warren Buffett apparently, he pointed out, and I think he bet certain fund managers at some point.
It was a hedge fund.
Okay. Yeah. That
the S&P over, I think it was a 10-year period or a long time.
That's what I'm trying to think of.
In 10 years, the S&P would have done better than the hedge fund, and he won $1 million. Yeah.
Right.
Not that he needs it.
But, right.
He did donate
a quarter
to
between
also.
You and me, Mike.
But back to your 15% outperforming the S&P, the data would show if you would look at that year, 2 years later, those 15% don't persist. So that 15% that is outperforming in that 1 year doesn't mean they're not going to outperform the next year.
Right.
That 15% is changing a lot.
Right.
For different reasons. So people are in and out of that 15%. But the odds are against you. Right.
Absolutely. Thank you. That's good. I'd like, if you don't mind, John Charles, I'd like to you know, let's get into a little bit about preparing to pay for college. And Mike, you've got one coming up not too far in the distant future. Yeah. So this might be relevant information. So when you talk to your clients, John Charles, and you advise them, and what are, you know, can you give us a few little tips or tidbits as to how you counsel your folks to properly prepare for funding college?
Yeah, some of it's real basic. So 529s or college and retirement, you know, the first thing out of our mouths is going to be very fundamental, which is start as early as possible, right? So the time value of money, getting that money in for younger couples with just had a child. My wife and I started when I got the Social Security card number in the mail.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah, me too.
You know, look, you may start out at $20 a month and then it goes to 50 or 100, whatever you can do. It's going to matter over that long period of time. And then, again, some advice that would apply across the board is that understand what you're investing in. You can go to 529s in any state you want to.
Now, I didn't know that. And we had lunch one time, and you shared that with me. And I tell you, I had no idea. I just assumed the state that I resided in was the one I'd have to choose. So
you obviously can invest in the 529 right. program in North Carolina, but you are not limited to that. Again, this might sound like an infomercial, but we use so Dimensional Funds is aligned with West Virginia.
Okay,
so. We use West Virginia. It's 529.
Okay.
And it's administered through the Hartford or something like that. They pair up. But understand what the fee structure is. You know, again, this includes 529s, but this would be retirement and general investing advice for people. Understand how much it's going to cost you at the end of the day to access these investments, the capital markets, because so many people that come in to see us that are looking to make a change, they don't understand a handful of things that you think they would. They don't really understand how they're invested. They don't understand what they're paying to be in those investments sure. all in.
Right.
And sometimes there's a fair amount of smoke and mirrors. Sometimes you need to be a forensic scientist to really figure it all out. But figure that out and then understand how much risk you are taking to get those returns. All returns are not created equal. If Mike is running a portfolio of, you know, real high quality blue chip stocks, the S&P 500, and I'm running something that's much riskier, like a hedge fund or something long short, and we both do 10%, well, Mike got there taking a lot less risk than I did, right? So understand how you're invested, what you're paying for it, and communicate. You know, just communicate with the people that you are paying to provide those services. And then the other thing people don't really understand, they get confused around risk and volatility. And the first time I heard that, I kind of, what does that mean? But risk is, I think of risk as going to Las Vegas and saying red or black. And in this case, it could be a concentrated portfolio. Volatility is the market's ebbs and flows. And asset classes move, you know, in cycles. And right. that has more to do with volatility and risk is, you know, the risk of all returns are not created equal. So understand the difference between those two things. And most importantly, know what you're paying because fees really matter.
Certainly. And I'm curious, what's the process to switch from one state 529 to another? Is that a difficult process?
I don't think so. A lot of times we're getting people, we do, I mean, it's a function of paperwork rolling over from one to another. So it's not too complicated.
Is there a penalty?
I don't believe so. No.
Okay. Mm-mm. Okay.
Now, because you're going from one plan to another, if you were to pull that money out and use it for something then other than
taxable or
penalty, then you're going to pay a penalty on the growth and a penalty for pulling it out. So but you're moving it from one plan to another, there's not going to be a penalty.
Sure. Understood. And generally let's just pick a number. Let's just say someone has kids in elementary school and they're trying to prepare. What is there a particular annual amount that you might recommend your clients contribute to the college fund? Is there anything that any type of ratio or an amount that might be a good prescription? College tuition is going up every year.
And next to medical expenses, I believe college tuition is the second fastest rising expense category that we
have.
If you've got a newborn or a really young child and college is 17 or 18 years old, then that's a ways away, and those expenses are going to go up. Now, there's a lot of disruption in that space, but who knows what it's going to look like in 15 or so years. But I would start at the end. I would start with, doing a budget, okay? Mm-hmm. I might say, you need to be putting X in a year, but that might not be feasible. You've got to look at, I've got a mortgage,
I've got these things, a lot of factors.
And then look at it. But we do know that we do have averages around public institutions, North Carolina, a ballpark of what that costs. We know tuition, books, it's somewhere in that probably $20,000 a year to go to, one of the state-supported schools. And then the private schools are quite a bit more than that.
Right.
So, and North Carolina being a really much more populous state than when it was. I grew up in North Carolina, and the size was then back in the 70s, but it was probably in the 20th largest, somewhere in that range. Now it's the ninth largest state in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand. So there's a lot more pressure on the public schools as well. So
certainly.
I would start with a budget, and then just, if that's a priority, my wife and I thought it should be, and it is. And then you start saving and you figure out how you can do more and more. And we've caught really, the last 15 or so years that, we have a 16-year-old, so that we've been doing this, the appreciation part, there's the principal part and there's appreciation, has been significant. So that, I can't stress enough, getting in early and doing whatever you can.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. And consistently. Yeah.
Yeah. Just from in the past of investing, it seems like there's so many fees that are buried. Sometimes you find out much later in the process. You explain kind of when you're taking on a client what they're actually paying for. And then to couple with that is, you're a fee-only based service. And how does that differentiate from the general marketplace?
Yeah. So I can talk obviously a lot more knowledgeably about what we're doing, but I'll answer your question. So fee only means that when we work with a client, the only place that we derive revenue from are the assets that we manage for that client. So for example, someone comes in, you come in and we're going to work up a financial plan. We're going to look at your overall portfolio, not just your assets, but we're going to look at, do you have a wife and kids? Do you have an estate plan? What does your insurance portfolio look like? Who's doing your taxes? We perform what we call a gap analysis and figure out where you need help. You might have a great relationship with your CPA, and all we need to do is know him and say, hi, we're here, and let's have a conversation every so often around Mike and his family and ideas on what we can do to help him out. So, for example, on the insurance side, it's a little bit easier to explain. So if we looked at your portfolio and said, hey, and some of these are actual things that have happened, you're underfunded on the disability side, and you might be a surgeon, make a living with your hands, and you like to go skiing in the wintertime, and you fracture your wrist in 8 different places, and you can't operate for a year or ever again, and you've got $4,000 a month in disability coverage, but it costs $10,000 to run your household. That's a gap. So let's address that. So we work with a group here in town who we work with for a long time. We know them really well, like them. They're great people. We go to those meetings and help facilitate getting the client what they need, but we don't participate in that revenue stream. Okay, so we're not being there's no remuneration coming back to us. Even dimensional funds. And to your question about fees, there are a ton out there, and the best answer is just ask questions to the people that you're working with. Have them explain everything to you. Okay, so in the case of dimensional funds, it's a mutual fund. historically part of an expense ratio, one of the line items on it will be what they call a 12B1, which is a percentage of the fee that goes back to the referring advisor. Mm. Dimensional Funds does not pay a 12B1. So when I say we don't get any fees off of driving our assets into that platform, that they don't have a 12, so we don't get paid for that. There's nothing wrong with 12B1s, and some advisors and financial people, services people, that's a portion of how they are compensated, and clients understand that, and it's fine. It's just we do it a little bit differently. We think that it's a little bit cleaner, if you will. So, but to answer your question is just sit down and communicate, ask questions, explain these things to me. So, but fee only means that we don't get revenue from anywhere else other than the assets that we manage for our clients. No commission trades, things like that.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, that's great. And I'm just kind of thinking, you started with just the fundamental, start early, consistent, you know, all those things are great. But, you know, if someone started much later in their 30s or 40s and decided to say, you know, gosh, I'm really kind of behind the eight ball on saving for retirement in general, or saving for a kid's college fund, you know, what advice would you give them?
Well, and Scott and I talked about this the other day on the phone, but if you've got children that are older and closer to college, you really have to wonder. But the big benefit, one of the big benefits of the 529 is that the assets are going to grow tax-free. So in a regular account that you might have, a taxable account, you're going to own a bunch of different companies or whatever in a mutual fund, and some of them are going to pay dividends, where you're going to pay taxes on those dividend distributions. In an IRA or a 401k or a 529, in this case, you're not being taxed on the dividends and you're not being taxed on the growth. So that's one of the big benefits of it. Now, as long as you use it for, you know, prescribed college tuition, things like that, then you aren't paying taxes. But if you have a child that's older, you got to really wonder, is it worth putting the money in the market at risk, so to speak? Because as we all know, you know, 08, 09, even the fourth quarter of 2018, markets don't always go up. And if your child is going off in a year or two or three, mm-hmm. you may not want to expose it to the risk of the marketplace. So that might knock 529s out, but it just goes back to probably some planning, doing a budget, and starting to set aside as much as you can at whatever stage.
Absolutely. In fact, I read an article, I can't remember which publication, it might have been Money Magazine, how the millennial generation are actually starting off more on the right foot than generations before them with respect to preparing for retirement, saving, and sacrificing, which I thought was interesting. I thought it was a little different than what I would have assumed.
Yeah, I mean, if you're starting out, the best advice I can give for someone getting out of college and getting a job is pound that 401k. If you take your basic financial calculator and just plug in, okay, I'm going to put in 10,000 or 8,000, whatever the number for the first couple of years. Most 401ks, corporations are going to match up to a certain percentage of it, and it's growing tax free. And if you plan on working 25 or 30 years and you do that number, now it's a static number. It doesn't account for, you have to plug in, say, 6% or something like that long term. The numbers get really big. You do that for 25, 30 years. So the power, back to the 529 comments earlier, the earlier you can start, no matter at what level, do it.
Absolutely. And I read a book recently by David Bach called The Latte Factor. And it's a parable, but the whole premise of the book is for the cost of a latte a day, you can set yourself up for an incredible retirement fund for when you become of retirement age.
Yeah.
And if you think about a latte, $4.50.
Yeah.
If somehow someone, maybe, you know, right out of college, 24, and they put $5 a day away, I mean, it really, that compounding effect.
It's extremely powerful. Yeah.
It's an interesting read. Actually, I bought copies for my daughters, and I'm just going to try to just really just share the message and connect people to a practical way for making preparations for.
Going back to Mike real quick on the college thing for people, other advice around if you're getting started late, develop a robust list of schools that you think your child might be interested in going to. Go talk to them. There are all kinds of grants and they will work with you on tuition. I mean, I know there are schools in our geographic region that if you're good enough, you have a high enough GPA, they'll give you in-state tuition for an out-of-state student.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And don't quote me. Don't quote me. I mean, I know I'm on a podcast, but I believe University of South Carolina does that. If you are good enough, because the schools are all competing for good students, right?
Right.
And I may get an angry letter from them, but I think that's the case.
Skyler is a great student. Yeah, so there you go.
My oldest son. So go, you know, it's work it like a job and go to four or five of them. And my child's interested, but they're interested over here. And, you know, a little bit of good old fashioned, you know, back and forth never hurts, and just see what they offer. And there are a lot of opportunities out there for schools are really interested in good students.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Great information.
Yeah.
So John, and I know you're so kind to take time out of your busy schedule to come in and talk to us, and you've got a great shop over there. Is there, do you mind sharing your web address?
Yeah, it's www.strathmore, which is StrathmoreCAP, AdamDavidVance.com. It's short for Strathmore Capital Advisors. It's not short, it's long. There's a paper company in the Northeast that had all the domain names, and so I had to go long on Strathmore right. CAP ADV. But yeah, we've been around since 05 and in Charlotte, and it's a lot of fun. It's a family owned, operated. We've got offices in Charlotte, an office in Statesville, an office in Burlington, and an office in Washington, D.C. And most of that's because Burlington and D.C. are a brother in Burlington where we grew up, where my family's from, and a brother-in-law in D.C. So we're very high-touch, one-on-one. The continuity of relationship is key to us because, again, so many people coming out of other shops that are a lot larger than ours, and we're not small. We're approximately $250 million under management, but they're looking for continuity of a relationship, and we provide that.
Absolutely.
They're going to be working with the ownership of the firm. So thank you for letting me lob that in there.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. Definitely. Just, you know, you bring tremendous value to our listeners, and I feel like Mike and I have learned a lot just furthermore. So food for thought, and we'd like to have you back on.
Oh, I love it. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, John Jarls, thank you so much for joining us today on this episode of Charlotte Real Estate Talk with Mike Hagee. I'm Scott. Thank you.
Thanks again.
Listen, download our podcast, or find out more about Charlotte Real Estate at pridemoreproperties.com.